League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Brancheck, and we're here to talk about our film review of the Packers 19-15 win over Seattle in the preseason finale. Eric, you're on the road but taking some time to do this, so thanks. We had a very long hour plus discussion today, and most of it,
I know I talked to you more today than I talked to my wife.
I know most of it was about Yosh Nijman, their tackle situation, and whether they're in a position where they could trade him. In a nutshell, we talked about it a long time and decided that, yeah, they probably are in a position to trade him. And just to let everybody know, I'm generally one to not want to trade away depth because you might need it. You're probably going to need it. But we talked about it and thought this was a situation where trading Nijman might be the best thing to do. Can you run through real quick a couple reasons why you think it's a good idea for him to do that?
Okay, real good. Just, Pete, thanks a lot. Just on the one side of the business side, right? It's paying the guy $4 million. He got leapfrogged by second year tackle, and another second year tackle leapfrogged him in the lineup. So you're gonna pay a guy $4 million to be your number four tackle. Understand, we all get it that, you know, Bakhtiari's got some health issues and that could probably rear its ugly head at some point during the year. But hey, the reality is you got Walker and you got Caleb Jones that I think are obviously they're going to be the better option than Nijman is right now. And it, you know, if you can get some value for the guy instead of paying him $4 million, I think that's what you would want to do to try to get something for next season or flip flop some picks or something, some way to get something out of it. Because otherwise you know, you're paying a guy $4 million to be your fifth tackle or your fourth tackle.
Yeah. Well, just so I'll fill in people just a little bit on the details there. So he's making $4.3 million on the second round tender as a restricted free agent. A guy named Ken Ingles, if you follow him on Twitter, he tracks the Packers cap really carefully. His numbers are right on the money. If you include practice squad, if you include the game day, moving guys up from the practice squad to the roster, which they got to bump their pay that week. If you include that for all season, if you include the $5 million piggy bank that they're going to want to go into the regular season, the Packers have about $1.2 million above and beyond that, about $1.2 million in cap room, which is not much at all. And even if they kept Nijman and they could afford to, and, you know, they'd still have that $1.2 million extra room. They still, if they traded him, they pick up that cap room, and they can, if they don't use it, they carry it over to next year when they still are going to be paying for a lot of the contracts that they've done the last 3 years to create cap room to try to, you know, win a Super Bowl the last 2 years and just get put together a roster this year. They had to do a lot of contract mortgaging. So $4.3 million is not nothing for these guys. It's a meaningful amount of cap room to save. Could help them next year if they want to sign. Let's say they want to sign a safety. That would be some extra cap room to help them do that. So right now, Nijman's the better player than Caleb Jones. But if Jones is their four and they would end up having to play him, what have you seen to make you think that they'd at least be okay there with him? And what do you think of his upside – and potential in the league?
Well, I think it's kind of a two-pronged discussion. You know, you got the yeah. Walker draft pick from last year, who, I mean, he's playing really good football for a young guy, and focusing more so on Caleb Jones is there's two things, okay? When you're looking at football players, you're always looking at size and speed gets slower. It just does. But size never gets smaller. So the, you know, what you have there is a really impressive, you know, height. He's 6'9". He's got super long arms, which helps him in the pass game, his pass blocking. One of the things that you got to have some concern about with a man of 6'9" is, can he get enough bend in the run game and be able to be effective outside of the off the line of scrimmage? So going to get a linebacker, going to get a safety, can a guy get enough bend to do that? And so far, his size and his arm length has shown up in the passing game for sure. And in the run game, he's got a little bit of a mean streak, which you really got to like. And you could coach through some of the, you know, can you get down low enough? But you can't coach a guy that wants to go out and hit somebody. And that's, I guess that's a couple of things that I really like is A, you like his overall wingspan, and he was able to not look like a big clumsy ox out there where, you know, he's just arms and, you know, elbows and knees running around. I mean, he has decent technique. His footwork's a little sloppy, but what he has in sloppiness and footwork, he makes up in being able to get his hands on you. And you saw him being able to take out safeties in the run game. You see him, you know, being able to consistently go to linebackers, and let's just face it, his arms are so long, he doesn't have to drive a guy in the ground. All he's got to do is make the guy go around him. That's a big hill to have to run around. He can't climb over the top of that thing. So I really like the size and his ability that he's shown so far, and can he get better? For sure. His footwork can clean up, and he can work on getting lower and getting a little bit bend to be a little bit more on the positive side. But when you're talking about getting linebackers and digging out at the point of attack, but so far he has withstood all of it. And he, you know, what we talked about this morning, what I really liked was the fact that he goes until the play's over with, where Nyman sometimes likes to let up and look around. And that's just not the type of football player that you really like. And earlier in the career with Nyman, he wasn't like that. And I don't know why. Just on the last two games, it just seemed to be kind of, you know, passive, you know, and when I look at football players, we've talked about number one, especially offensive linemen, how much time do they spend on their feet? Can they bend their knees, and do they have a mean streak? And the last thing is, can they block to the whistle? And I really like the what Caleb Jones brings to the table. Still very raw, but I think, you know, the ceiling there is ultra high, and I don't think you can expose him to waivers, because I think he'll get picked up.
Yeah, I think so too. One thing I didn't clearly state, so Zach Tom beat out Nyman for the starting job at right tackle, and that was pretty clear it was headed that way. Maybe 2 weeks into camp, it was pretty clear it was going that way. But then Rasheed Walker in the last 2 weeks has passed up Nyman as the number three tackle. So Nyman's the number four right now. So you'll find this interesting, Eric. After we talked, I looked this stuff up. The scouting combine data goes back to 1999. So from 99 through this year's scouting combine, Caleb Jones has 36-inch arms, arm length. There were, I think it was 16 players from 1999 through 2023, 16 tackles total who had arm length of 36 inches or more. So that's less than one a year. He's got an 86 and I think it's 5/8 inch wingspan. There were two guys during that whole span who had a wider wingspan than him. So he has some really rare traits. Now, he had weight problems at Indiana his last year, and he stayed heavy and even got heavier in the offseason, and that turned off teams, and that's why he didn't get drafted. And, you know, there's a point where a guy is probably too tall to play offensive line, and he's getting close to that line. But those are some really rare traits there, Eric.
Oh, for sure. You know, you can't, there's the, you, A, size is always going to be size and you can't coach it. It is what it is. And I think he's a young enough man yet where he can still add quality weight, because, I mean, when you're looking at him on the field with pads on, he certainly is not, you know, he's not an Adonis. He's not chiseled out of stone. He's got some room to work with there. And I think they can do something with that. That's going to be up to him whether he wants to do that or not. But the reality is, on the field, I kind of like the little rip snort he's got in him when he goes down to down block. And his ability, again, you got 36-inch arms that you got to get around. So at the worst-case scenario, if you just get your arm on him and lock him out, that's going to make it really difficult for pass rushers to do that. And he doesn't have to be super physical and super aggressive to do it. He's just got to get his hands on guys. And I think that, you know, what we've seen so far in the preseason is that once he does that, it's over. It's just kind of like, what do? You can't reach and grab a shirt to try to yank him. You know, if you could try to break his arms, what I mean by that is you try to break him at the elbow or break the hands off of you. That's really difficult to do when you can't even reach the body, and that it makes it easier for him to defend spin moves or moves back to the inside when you have those big long arms like that. Because even if you do get a little bit beat off either the inside or on the edge, if you get your arm extension, he can just ride him right past the quarterback, and that's really what you know, that's the worst case scenario. So for an offensive tackle. So I really like the upside that he's got. Now Nyman is probably, obviously he's played a lot more in the league and he's got a little bit more experience. Probably, you know, all those things that go on, you know, he goes, you know, if Kaven gets to a game, you know, it's going to be his first time starting in the NFL, things like that. Those are all the things that you got to temper a little bit when you have Nyman, he's been there, done it, you throw him in there. So I just feel like at this point in Nyman's career, it's probably time to see if you can cut bait with him. I think if you cut him, someone's going to pick him up. So you got to try to do something there. And I think if you cut Caleb Jones, that he's going to get picked up too. So you're in a lose-lose situation. And for me, size and youth always wins.
So I contacted a scout today in the league who had he'd watched, I know for sure, the Packers' first two games. And I asked him, I'm not sure if he'd watched yesterday's game yet or not, and I asked him what he thought the Packers could get for Nyman, and he said a sixth rounder, or maybe flip-flopping, sending their six to another team and getting that other team's five, you know, and the other team gets Nyman too. I don't know if you can quantify this or what your thoughts are, but I'm wondering what Jones's chances are of being a starter a year or two from now and being this guy who can start for a few years in the league. I know, I'm pretty sure when we've done these things about Nyman, because he was kind of Caleb Jones like 3 years ago, you know? And I know that we thought that he had a chance to be a starter in this league, and he still does, but he ended up not being a long-term answer for the Packers. What about Jones? You think his odds are any better than Nyman's were?
I think, yeah. And here's why. I think he's got such a rare talent, well, rare ability, rare size, that someone's going to give him a chance. There's a lot of teams out there that really are struggling with the offensive line right now. Just to name a couple, you know, you got the Bears, you got the Jets, you got the New England Patriots. Those are teams that you may just grab this guy and throw him out there. Obviously not in week one if you're picking him up off of waivers, but at some point this is a guy that you got to give him a look just because of his just sheer size. And what he's put on video right now, it's not that bad. You know, it's pretty good. And I, you know, not that Nyman is bad either, but with Nyman, it comes down to this, is you got $4 million sitting on the bench, or you're going to have Caleb Jones sitting on your bench. And, you know, these guys, they have mortgaged their future to try to get Super Bowls these last couple of years, and they failed. Now they're paying the piper a little bit. And I think it's going to get better, Pete. Doesn't it get better in 24 or 25 as far as cap numbers go? But then there's going to be some other guys that are going to need something to get paid too. So I think he's got as good of a chance as Nyman to be a starter in the league. And but it really is going to be, can he work himself into it? I mean, it's going to – linemen, good offensive linemen are not born. They are made. And whether or not he's going to decide to take it to the – to put the work in the offseason and during practices to do that, that's remains to be seen. But certainly all of the pieces are there.
Yeah, there's still plenty of pain to come cap-wise in 24. For instance, if they move on from Bakhtiari, you know, they've restructured his contract however many times, you know, the last, what, probably at least 3 years, maybe four, but at least three. All that signing bonus, future signing bonus acceleration will hit next year if they move on from him next offseason. And that'll be a big cap hit just in and of itself. So, you know, $4 million is no small amount for their cap and to try and create a little bit of room for next year. And who knows what they might need, you know, they might be looking for a safety next year, who knows what position. Cause if Jordan Love pans out, next year is a year they'll be shooting, you know, they'll be shooting for those, the young talent. They have some young talent in the passing game, and those guys, you know, if they're going to blossom, next year would be when it would happen. So if Love pans out, they might be looking to hit the free agent market to beef up some weak spots and see if they can make a run at things. I guess, you know, we can move on to it. Speaking of safeties, what do you think of their safety situation? I think it's this is hardly news, but it's a weak position. Nobody emerged. You know, they were looking for a starter opposite Savage. Nobody emerged in that battle. So it looks like it's just almost by default going to be Rudy Ford, who started 6 games last year. They're going to be looking on the waiver wire, but I don't know if you think there's any chance they'll find anybody who can start for them there. That's probably a long shot. Not impossible, but probably a long shot.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, they're going to be doing it. And so a couple things. So Rudy Ford, here's what you like about Rudy Ford, man. He is a willing tackler. He is going to come up and he's going to play at the line. He's going to play at linebacker depth. So playing in the box is not an issue for him. He is a tackler. He is going to come up and he is going to he's going to make plays in the run game. He's going to make plays on receivers in the flat. Speaking of that, Savage has done that pretty good in the past too. The challenge is going to be for both of those fellows this year is to not get beat on the double moves and to stay deep and stay over the top of stuff. If they can do that, then the other challenge that both of those guys face is when they do a blitz and they do get stuck in man coverage, manning up on somebody with no one over the top, it's just them on them. They have got to make sure that they are not getting beat over the top. And the only way you can do that is by being aware of what's going on and being students of the game. So one of the things that you can get away with not being the fastest and not being have all the physical tools in the back end if you are a student of the game. And one of the guys that really kind of solidified that for me, and this goes back a ways, is Charles Woodson, when he was talking about the amount of film study that he put it in, the mental reps that he puts in are sometimes more important than the physical reps. So if they get to be good enough on the mental side and understand what are the passing concepts, what they're going to do, they will be better on the back end than they've played in the past. But if it's still the same kind of thing where they're being too aggressive on the double moves and they're falling asleep, especially on the crossers, you know, those could be situations where they could get in trouble. So I don't know. I kind of thought the addition of Owens and the kid and the guy from San Fran, I thought those guys were going to be ones that were kind of going to float up to the surface, and they really haven't either. So when you're looking at this thing, you know, I against the run, I'm fine with both of those there. I am a little bit nervous when they get put into a one-on-one situation and they got to hit a guy that's going to be screaming up over the top. I think that could be scary, and they're going to have to either loosen those guys up. So what I mean by loosen them up is they're going to have to play a little bit deeper in those situations, or when they think that those concepts are going to be coming at them, or they just have to somehow mentally get better prepared to be able to understand the angles that they have to take so that they don't get beat deep.
You know, and Barry doesn't like to play. He comes from the, you know, the Staley, the Brandon Staley defense. They don't like to play their safeties deep. They like to keep them a couple of yards closer to the line than a lot of teams because they like to stop the run with only six in the box. And they like to have those safeties there a little closer just to be sure to help in the run game. So that could be a problem. You know, I got the sense, now, no one from the Packers ever said this to me, but I got the sense that they thought Jonathan Owens, the free agent they signed from Houston, now, he was cheap, bargain basement guy, but I think they thought he was probably going to be there, win the starting job. And he started that opener against the preseason opener at Cincinnati and did not have a good game. He gave up two big plays, one in the run game, one in the pass game, and he never really worked his way back up there. So at least for now, it's Rudy Ford, and that could be a big – I think that could end up being a big problem for this defense is just, you know, that – safety play, it just won't be good enough, and that will be a super high draft priority come next April.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, the other, you know, you said it there though. I mean, last year it proved that those safeties, other than Amos, I mean, they were kind of rotated in and out of there quite a bit, you know, and it's pretty, you know, it's well known about Savage getting benched for a while, but it sounds like he decided to kind of play within the scheme or the scheme slightly changed a little bit last year that more fit his game. That might be the bigger part of it. But what I'm looking at, you're right. They're going to need to loosen those guys up a little bit, I think, just because they don't have the super skill. The other thing is the best safeties you got are DNs and outside backers that get your quarterback on the ground.
Those
are the best safeties, you know. So it's going to be a challenge, you know. Hopefully, you know, the way they're saying Gary's coming back, they say, you know, the young kids up front are showing some push a little bit. You got Wyatt who kind of woke up. You feel good about Clark. I just, you know, that pass rush could be something pretty good. Especially if they decide, you know, they indicated it while in talking this offseason, and they proved it during the offseason that they're going to send Walker to the quarterback. They blitzed more times. I was surprised at the amount of times that they sent him on Saturday afternoon. You know, it's the last preseason game. I thought maybe they would kind of play a little bit close to the vest, but they were not as vanilla as I had anticipated to be. And quite a bit was Walker coming from different positions on the field. And I think that is something to watch because if you pair him up with Gary and somebody down with their hands on the ground gets some sort of penetration, the two young kids show that they can get upfield. Wyatt, you still have Preston Smith to be aware of. That could be a pretty interesting thing. And if they can get the quarterback to move off the spot, that's going to open things up for Rudy Ford. And maybe there's that other young kid that likes to be aggressive on the ball and pick balls off too. So I think there's some pieces there on that defensive side of the ball that can help their safety position. But it's by and large, you're looking at the safety spot that you're right. That's something that's a huge concern for that football team.
You know, I was, I got to count myself as a skeptic about, you know, when there was talk, you know, earlier, you know, like in the spring or even late last season, yeah, Gary's shooting to get back for the opener. I just was thinking that's just not happening. You know, you think of Elgton Jenkins and how he struggled coming back. He came back in week two, but he didn't play very well till halfway through the season. I was just thinking that was unlikely. But I know you didn't get a chance to see practice last week, but Gary was really a surprise at how he looked pretty good as a pass rusher, pretty explosive. Zach Tom's a decent right tackle, and Gary abused him on a couple one-on-ones and got some pressure in 11-on-11 too. And with him, I wouldn't be surprised at all now if he's playing in that opener and they can get away with an outside linebacker like that by playing him only 10 to 15 snaps in a game and just using him on third down pass rushing situation. So I'm thinking we're probably going to see him in the opener I guess what almost 2 weeks from today. Yeah,
that's looking So that you're right, and it's, I guess you got to trust the science, right? They've come a long ways with how they bring players along from surgery, from injury to surgery to being back out on the field. It's pretty impressive what they do nowadays, and that certainly is something that will drastically change their defense if he can be out there. You saw how much the pass rush struggled when he was not there last year, up until the point when he got hurt. I believe he was, if he wasn't the top guy, he was in the top four or five guys for quarterback hurries, all the quarterback pressure type stuff. And, you know, having that back is pretty impressive. And it's going to be really, really integral for that football team to get the quarterback either moving around or on the ground.
So last thing real quick, 2 weeks ago after the opener, we took a hard look at Luke Van Ness and Lucas Van Ness, sorry. And pretty nondescript first game for him. One-dimensional pass rusher, just didn't do much of anything. Little bit different 2 weeks later. What'd you see?
Yeah, you know, that was something that I was really shocked, to be completely honest with you, because I thought maybe his trajectory would be a little bit slower. But he looks like a quick read and a quick learn. Couple things. The opener, one of the things that really stood out to me was just his lack of explosion. Seems like, you know, and that's typical of someone who's thinking, you know, when your body is just, you're worrying about putting your foot in the right spot versus just going and reacting, it slows your game down. Secondly, was just basic technique stuff. So one of the things that you and I had talked along a lot about was on the tackle end twists. When that end is coming down, when he's twisting in at the pro level, you don't have time to round that off. That's got to come flat and it's got to come hard, because offensive linemen don't run 6.5s in the NFL. You know, you're not playing against, you know, Indiana or someone of that caliber, their offensive line. You're playing against the best of the best, and those guys are quick and they are able to get and move away from blocks quickly in order to do that. And they see twists every single day of the week, all day long. That's part of the NFL. When you saw that the opening game, you saw a big kind of loopy swirl around, and he gets eaten up by the guard who had all day to get off of the block and go and take him on. You saw Saturday or yesterday, you saw a lot different. You saw him coming, knifing down hard, getting through there, keeping his shoulders down, and then squaring up his line, his shoulders as he comes through the line of scrimmage. I thought that was really impressive. The second thing that I saw that was probably more so impressive was the fact that he did something other than just a bull rush. You saw him take a bull rush and then rip underneath. You saw an arm over. You saw a swim move. So you saw him swatting hands pretty good. Those are things that the elite pass rushers do, and they do very well. And they can do more than one thing. You look at guys like Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, and Von Miller, and those guys. They do a bunch of different things. They can spin. They can cut. They can swim over the top. They can arm over. They can just hand you. You know what I mean by that is just grabbing the wrist and just driving them off. And they can bull rush. It's one of the things that Gary is such a powerful individual, that his bull rush is so powerful, it opens up a whole bunch of other stuff, opens up a rip to the outside, rip to the inside, and then spins off all of that stuff. So those were things that, you know, to me showed maturity and showed that, all right, he's getting it. And this is probably what the Packers saw when they drafted him, was a guy that's intelligent, a guy that's probably was drafted a year too early. Had he come out next year or at the conclusion of this season, he probably would have been a pretty high pick and pretty vaunted guy, but decided to make the transition to the NFL level. And, you know, the Packers seem to be okay with their first round picks of taking developmental guys and turning them into something. You see continually. Gary, I think Quay Walker kind of fits into that mold a little bit, certainly Wyatt. And now you got this kid that came into a position that he's probably a year away from being a really good NFL player, but certainly you can put him on the field a little bit at this point this season, and he's not going to – I don't think he's going to hurt you. What I'm really going to be looking forward to seeing is if our team's going to try and double-team him, in the run game and see how they can attack the edge there. So that's the one thing that we really haven't seen yet, and that's something that I'm really going to be looking for if he gets playing time in the regular season. Is what I mean by that, I'm going to try to reach him with a tackle and then chip him with a running back or chip him with a wide receiver and see how he reacts to the edge. And is he able to hold his ground, or is he going to get driven inside or mentally go inside when he sees the free lane instead of staying outside and turn it up?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what kind of player he is come December, and you know, what kind of improvement we might see there. Well, anyway, it looks like the sand has run out in the hourglass, so we gotta call it quits here, Eric. But real interesting discussion. Thanks for the time, and I hope everybody out there will join us in 2 weeks when we go over our film review of the Packers opener at Chicago. Thanks for joining us, everybody. For Eric, I'm Pete, and you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. Take care, everybody.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.